If anybody needs to lose weight, short-term mission's a good way to go. 5 pounds in 8 days, not bad. I was going to speak on a question that I wasn't supposed to address, so I won't do that. But it's interesting to say, why go? The command in Scripture is very simple. It comes out of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20, where Jesus commands the disciples, gives them this commission to go out into the world, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, et cetera, teaching, et cetera. Teaching them to observe, to do all things that are written therein. That's go. I mean, that's a two-letter word, very simple. You don't have to be a scholar to really understand what it means. It's imperative, go, okay? So this going in the will of God is fairly straightforward. You know, it's not rocket science at all. Yeah. But behind the command to go is the underlying motive of love and its response to God. I've mentioned this before. And these guys were a pretty interesting group of people. It's the name of their tribe, their group of Indians, descended from the Mayans, the Moms, M-A-M. These people had a civil war in, not just these people, but the various Indian tribes in the coastal plains and the highlands were part of a revolt against the Guatemalan government that went on for years. It was concluded in 1996, 12 years ago. In the hotel where we stayed, there was a guy named Carlos that Laura talked with, and he told the story to Dan that during the Civil War, the soldados came into their town, kicked in the doors, and murdered people. In the square where Jennifer, or Samantha mentioned in Guatemala City, outside the cathedral is the pillars, and there's a mark to las victimas, the victims that were murdered. And I don't know if these were Catholic priests, because it didn't seem like there were enough of them on there to really make up for all the people that lost their lives. But this is the area that we went into. It's a indigenous, impoverished region, forsaken. It's a dirt road that gets washed out in the rain. You need a four-wheel drive vehicle to get in there after a rainstorm. Houses are made of galvanized tin. We've got tarps, you got chickens, turkeys, pigs, various things running around. It's nothing very impressive at all. But these guys that we spent time with, I spent time building. Why do I have to go build something? Man, you know I don't like to pound nails. I don't know anything about it. I can lift. I can manage. I can orchestrate. I can cut. I can use a saw. Joe taught me how to do that. But so here we are, man. We're outside my sphere of confidence. But I'm working with these guys, the 20-year-old guys, maybe a little bit older. And I listened to the way they talked to each other, and it kind of impressed me. Mi hermanos, póngale este. Bring this over here. Tráigame este madera. Bring this wood over here. Cut this. Do this. But hermanos. And it was a sort of a gentleness in the command. You know, it was different than an American construction site. But this impressed me, because these guys had a picture of the gospel. These simple guys, they're literate. They read their Bible. They have the Bible. And they asked me, hey, do the guys in your church read the Bible? I said, well, they can read, but I'm not so sure they all read the Bible. They say, por qué, why? Why? Why don't they read the Bible? I said, well, I don't know. They got a lot of things to do. But anyway, these guys were pretty impressive, and they had this idea that the love of God had an impact in their lives, which enabled them to care for each other, care for their neighbors. They knew their neighbors. They only had 250 of them. They had a kid in their group, and I asked him, this 13-year-old kid, And he kind of had an attitude. I could tell. I like kids that got attitudes because I kind of give it back to them a little bit. I said, "Hey, where do you go to school?" "Oh, I don't go to school." "How come?" "I don't." And I find out a little bit later, this kid had no parents. His parents had moved to another village. So I asked one of the coordinators, "How come this kid's not going to school?" "Well, it costs $40. It's either $40 or 40 castales, which is there's 7 castales in a dollar. This village took care of this kid all by himself. He was part of the village. And that impressed me. But anyways, as I worked with these guys in an area that I didn't feel particularly gifted in, I could see God working in these guys in a pretty neat way, and as encouragement to me. And in spite of the language, I could speak some Spanish. I could communicate from my point of view quite well. And I have trouble hearing what was coming back from them because they talked too fast. Okay. But this is the thing that hit me. It's not so much a question of competence. I mean, if you're doing cardiology, you need to be a cardiologist. That's a no-brainer. But a lot of this stuff, you don't have to be a cardiologist. It helps if you can pick up a hammer, pound a nail, be there. You know? So it was more a question of availability rather than competence. Okay. Jeremiah made an interesting statement in Jeremiah 9:23 through 24. He says, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, and in these things I delight." You see? And that was kind of cool. I could see that. In short, it was rather humbling to someone who tends to be somewhat arrogant. Because I'm looking at this, I want to be competent. I want to be good. And sometimes those things get in the way of what God wants to do through you. And it was interesting because we had 6 out of 7 people in our team were sick at one time or another. Some for short periods of time, some for the whole period of time. And it's hard to be on your A game when you really feel crummy. Okay? Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he's got this thing called a thorn in the flesh. Something's sticking him. He can't see. He's in pain. He feels impaired. And he asks God to get rid of this thing. And God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So I think that's kind of what one of the things that I saw in this little deal. God uses weak vessels sometimes to demonstrate that he is Lord. And that's fairly humbling, but it's much more significant. So God could take simple people, poor people, people who had nothing, in a country that could care less about who they were, and make something out of their lives in such a way that these people had tremendous hope. When you look at their circumstances and say, they had nothing. So, was it a significant week? Sure, it was tremendous. Do we know the end all of results? No. Were we glad we went? Yes. Were we appreciative of the support? Oh yeah. As I said the first day, I said if there's one thing that we accomplished, it was just taking that stuff down there. It's fun being a smuggler trying to get by customs. Yeah? But that was significant stuff. These guys had nothing. I mean, you're taking basic non-prescription antibiotics, eyewash, suppositories, vitamins. Hey, good job. You were part of that. You shared the love of God with your